Our reading this morning is from the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning the 21st verse. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you may follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good news, brothers and sisters in Christ. You have been called. You have a calling. It's a great honor to be called. It means that you've been chosen. It means that you have value. To be called is to have a life of purpose. But without a calling, life is meaningless. And we see that all around us in our world today, that people have no sense of purpose. They have no calling. Life is meaningless. But there's something very special about the call that you have. See, your calling isn't just some worldly calling, some temporal calling, some incidental calling. Your calling is from the living God. The creator of heaven and earth has called you. And he hasn't just called you generically, like, you know, y'all are called. He's called you by name, individually. He's crafted you, he's gifted you, he's shaped you for a calling, and he's called you to it. Knowing that your call is from the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, makes the honor and purpose of your calling even greater. In fact, there is no higher calling. This comes from the top. Well, such a high calling must be good, right? I mean, this is as good as it gets. We have a call from God. We have a call from the creator of the universe. He's called you. This is going to turn out really well, right? You know it's got to be good because the God of grace has called you. But to what has he called you? I mean, our text today begins with, "For to this you have been called." What's to this? Well, we kind of have to back up a little bit, find out what the this is. It's two verses earlier, 1 Peter 2:19 and 20. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Oh, this is our great calling. This is what God has called us to. This is as good as it gets, to suffer for doing good. Well, that doesn't sound like such a great calling, does it? I mean, we could probably come up with some better callings than that. To suffer? And to suffer for doing good? Well, that isn't such a great calling, at least as far as our worldly eyes can see, because it's, well, unfair. It's unfair that we would suffer for doing good. I mean, sure, if we do bad, we should suffer. If we do something wrong, we should pay the price for it. As earlier in 1 Peter 2 said, you know, if you deserve a beating and get a beating, so what? That's life. But if you don't deserve a beating and get a beating, wait a minute. That's not right. That's not fair. By all worldly standards, it's unjust. But that's the key here. You don't have a worldly calling. You have a calling from the one who judges justly. He has a different perspective of things. He sees things rather differently. And so the world's standards of fair and just and right do not apply, which means your standards of fair and just and right don't apply. Along with your higher calling is a higher purpose and a higher standard and a higher understanding. So you have a calling. Now don't confuse this calling with a command. I mean, a command is something you can kind of do, check the box off, and then get on with the rest of your life. But a calling is different than that, because a calling, well, it is your life. You can't separate your life from this calling. This calling is your whole life. See, it's not as if we live in two realms where we can kind of jump from one to the other as suits us. You know, we can have this calling from God that's a little bit rough. I mean, it's, you know, suffering for doing good. Okay, we can deal with that for a little while, but, you know, we need to move over here where we get our own way, where things are fair in our sight, where we get rewarded for doing good. You know, if we could just spend most of our time over here and then, you know, answer our calling once in a while, we can manage that. But we don't have that choice. Our whole life is a call to suffering for doing good. A calling to live as God's people in every aspect of our lives at all times. It's a calling to do good at all times and in all things, and to expect suffering as a result. That's your high calling. But what does that look like in practice? How does it work itself out? Well, we hear in the text today how it worked out for Jesus. This is what it looked like for Jesus to answer this calling, to be reviled by the people he came to save. Reviled, that word means to assail with contemptuous, disgraceful, outrageously shameful language. Revile is a little soft, isn't it? He was abused verbally by the people he came to save. He was insulted, he was mocked. He was shamed for doing good. It meant taking the beatings and the suffering and the wounds that belong to other people for doing good. It looked like him bearing our sins in his body on the cross for doing good. It looked like him dying your death for doing good. What does this calling look like for us? Well, it takes many different shapes and forms. It happens in everyday life. It may look like someone enduring the divisive and subversive actions of a coworker and refusing to compromise his integrity to clear his name. Or the suffering might look like someone finding her value in the Lord's sight and entrusting herself to him when she's made the subject of people's hurtful and hateful gossip. It might look like someone faithfully serving the Lord for 40 years or more, only to find out just months before retirement that he has a life-threatening tumor. It looks like rows of children laid out in funeral dress a few days after Easter, killed because they confessed Jesus. In large and small ways, in personal and impersonal ways, God's people suffer for doing good. But why? Why all this suffering? I mean, God could have chosen to do things differently, but he didn't. Instead, he chose to join us in our suffering, to suffer for those who strayed like sheep, to suffer for those who reviled their shepherd, to suffer for those who had wandered into death, to suffer for you. But don't make this calling all about you. I mean, sometimes we look at suffering and say, well, you know, when I'm suffering and I look back at my times of suffering, I can see how close I got to Jesus, so suffering ends up being good, right? And it's true. It's true that often in our suffering, we are drawn closer to the Lord. But the suffering isn't about you. Your call to suffering isn't about how you can benefit. Look to Jesus, as the text says, our example. He didn't suffer for his benefit. He suffered for the benefit of others. And so it is for you in your high calling to suffer for doing good for the benefit of others. And again, if we back up a little bit in 1 Peter 2, we see this global reason. It puts everything into perspective, this global reason for why we suffer. In verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. See, our call to suffering isn't for us, it's for others. To call them out of darkness as we've been called out of darkness, to proclaim the excellencies of the God who chose to suffer for us and with us. So, dear friends in Christ, to this you have been called, to suffer for the best reason to suffer, that those who are perishing would know the shepherd who suffered for them, who suffered for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.